Appreciate you being in the house of the Lord. Take your Bible, please. Open with us to begin with in the book of Proverbs, chapter number 8. Proverbs, chapter number 8. We hear a lot about pride in these days. Well, there is a thing in the mountains. The Primitive Quartet sing a song that says, "I'm proud of salvation, I'm proud of my Lord." Used in that context, that does not mean pride, okay? When you say you're proud of something, that means that you cherish it, okay? But in the context of Scripture, the word pride and proud always has a negative context, okay? Always does. And I'm interested in some things that the book of wisdom, the book of Proverbs, has to say about pride. You know, we blame things on this or that or the other, but a lot of times we don't understand that all it is a bad case of pride. And oftentimes when our pride gets stepped on, that's when things start getting ugly. And so this morning, let's look what the Scripture has to say in Proverbs, beginning chapter 8, verse number 13. The Bible says, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate." Let's bow our heads together. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, help us, I pray, this morning. Hide us behind the cross in our weakness, Lord. Show yourself strong. Lord, give us exactly what we need to say for this hour. In Christ's name, amen and amen. Thank you very much, and please be seated. Corey put out on the sign a while back, and he said this. I think it was on the sign, or maybe it was on a bulletin board. It said, "Humility is not thinking less of yourself." You know, you can be, full of pride and saying, "Oh, I'm nothing, I'm nothing, I'm nothing. Oh, I'm not that good, I'm not that good." But the thing about it is, you're still focused on yourself. Think about it. This is tough to talk about, but did you know that a big part of depression has to do with pride? Because it's all about me. And life is not as good as I think it should be. People who take their lives, what they're saying is, "God did me wrong. I should have had better. I should have had better circumstances. I should have had better situations. This shouldn't have happened to me. I don't deserve what's happened. Me, 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 me." And it's all about me. Is that right? Exactly it is. Put the thing up. It said, "Humility is not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less." Do you find yourself thinking everything that you do, you think about what people are seeing or what people are thinking about, what people are saying about what you're doing? That's called pride. And all of us have it. Somebody looked around and said, "Oh, ain't nobody." Oh, no, we all have pride. And it manifests itself in different degrees at different times among us, but we're all guilty of it. I want you just to look at a few things that I find scrolling through the book of Proverbs. So this would be, for the Bible college students, this would be what we call a concordial message. We're looking at a word and finding the word numerous times in Scripture. It's not expository like typically. It's not even technically be considered topical, because we're looking for the word proud or the word pride as we go through the passage. The Scripture says, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil." And then it says, "Pride and arrogancy." Pride and arrogancy. Now think about what I'm fixing to say. Pride is the cousin of arrogancy. And you have somebody that's arrogant, listen to what I'm going to tell you. They got a pride problem. Somebody treats you bad in a restaurant, they got a pride problem. So I said, "Oh, no, they're just in a bad mood." No, they got a pride problem. You know, something, you know, they're arrogant. So what they're saying is, "My opinion's more valuable than your opinion." You ever get like that? When we bought the Willis property, the addresses were messed up. And so the addresses were all messed up. So we went through the process. I worked for Duke Power. I went out, got a meter number because the addresses were messed up, And I called in a meter number and dealt with a woman. And so she, they said, fine, and that fine. And we started getting this huge power bill. I'm talking about a huge power bill. And there's nobody there. There's nobody living in the mobile home. And it come in like $253, and there's nobody there. I said, well, wait a month. Let's see what it does. And the next month, it did it again. And then it did it again. That woman had given us the trailer that the family of six was living in. Had switched it and sent it to us. On my vacation in the spring, I spent half a day on my vacation on the phone with Duke Power, Duke Energy, trying to get it straightened out. And they assured me it was fixed. I spent a half day while everybody else was out enjoying themselves. I stayed in the camper on the cell phone with my iPad for a half a day dealing with that crazy problem. Guess what? They did it again. They kept on doing it. And when we got the rest of the properties and put them in our names, then they said we owed this big back power bill and tried to attach that to the double wide. I talked to a lady. I called a lady. And I said, look, this is like the third time I've been through this with y'all. And I said, I can't get you to understand that that was not ours. We did not own that. And she said, well, you're going to pay it. And I said, hang on just a second. I said, listen, I'm a Baptist pastor, and I'm pastor of the Baptist church. And I said, I could write you a check and pay it for the next 10 years. But on principle, I refuse. She said, we'll cut your power off. That's what she told me. She said, we'll cut your power off. I said, you better not. I said, be the biggest mistake you ever made. You better not. And I kept trying to tell her, and she kept interrupting me, and she refused to let me tell her the facts and go down the line. She refused to let me do that. And finally, she hung up on me. She hung up on me. I dialed the North Carolina Utilities Commission. And I said, I am a former Duke Power employee, and I need to talk to somebody now. And then somebody called me back, and I went through it, and I said, listen to me. I'm fixing to drive to Charlotte and slap somebody. I said, I hope they got a secure location out there, because if I can find that gal, I've never been talked to like that in my life. I've never been treated like that in my life. And I said, furthermore, if when I was a Duke Power employee, had I talked to a customer like that, I would have been cleaning out my locker that afternoon. You would have went to the house, son. I know the way it used to be. I said, I don't know how y'all do business now, but I'm just telling you, that's wrong on every account. And I said, do they tape the conversations? And she said, every one of them. I said, pull the conversations. You go back and hear what I said and see what. I got a call from Duke Power. My next phone call was Duke Power and said, Pastor Barton, we need to apologize to you. Duke Energy owes you a great apology. I said, you got that right. I said, but you owe me more than that. My humility was showing. I know it was. My humility was all over the place. I'm just eat up with humility. And she said, I went back and listen to your conversations. They're all part of your file. So I heard your voice inflection. I heard everything that was said. I said, I couldn't get a word in edgewise with that hateful woman. She said, I am dealing with that as we speak. I said, ma'am, I have never turned anybody into the Utilities Commission. I know what that was like back. We were scared to death to be turned into the Utilities Commission back in the day. I run over something one time, and they turned us in, and it was a big deal. I like to lost my job over getting turned into the Utilities Commission. And I said, I've never done that. I said, but they left me no alternative. They would not let me speak to supervision. She would not let me go above her head. She refused to give me her supervisor. And I said, I had no alternative. She said, I agree with you totally. And I want this settled, and we're going to do everything in our power to fix it. And I said, do I need to talk to your superintendent? She said, no, I am the superintendent. I have the power to do whatever it takes to fix this. I said, thank you very much. What happened was it was a battle of the prides. My pride versus her pride, and her pride won on the first two rounds. But I'm going to tell you something. Your preacher got downright arrogant. You didn't know I had that in me, did you? You didn't know I was capable of that, did you? I know you're shocked. I see it all over your faces. You're just so shocked. Liars, I'm telling you the truth is. Do you understand that that woman was not convinced that she was wrong? That woman was convinced that she was right and I was wrong. And it was a matter of pride. It caused that entire conflict. Had she just listened to me, all I needed was just listen. I just need her to listen to me. Just hear my story. I've got my facts. I've got my figures. I've got everything else. And she said, well, you applied for power at such and such address. I said, ma'am, back up. I've got my notes. I applied for this particular meter number. And if you can't get a meter number right, it's not my fault. And finally, when we went to the top, all got all the way to the top, they said, you're exactly right. You called out the correct meter number. The woman who put it in wrong. But it took 6 months to straighten that mess out. All because of pride. And it manifests itself in arrogancy. You realize that when we're arrogant, when we have a bad day, when we're in a bad mood, it's a matter of pride. My day should have been better than this. I deserve a better day than I'm having. I don't deserve to have to work with a headache. I don't deserve not to have to work with less than 3 cups of coffee. I don't deserve to be treated like, you know. It's me and my, and it's all about the pride. And it comes, the bottom line is, it's a haughty thing. Haughtiness and a haughty spirit. Pride's the cousin of arrogancy. Flip forward in your Bible from Proverbs 8. Flip forward in your Bible to Proverbs 11. And look with me at another passage. Proverbs 11. Proverbs 11 and verse number 2. The Bible says, when pride cometh, then cometh shame. But with the lowly is wisdom. The Bible says that not only is pride the cousin of arrogancy, but the Bible also tells us that pride is the cause of abasement or being humbled. In other words, for God having to knock our props out from under us. You say, boy, I've been so embarrassed. I've been so ashamed. I mean, something happened and it just shamed me. Well, the scripture says that pride is the precursor of shame. When we lift ourselves up and we get good and proud, then God's going to have to let us experience a little bit of shame to weigh it out. And I think of some of the humiliating circumstances that I've been in. I think of some of the embarrassing things that have happened. And you look back and think about it, it was because of that pride. I had a little message when I just started out. And I had a fellow that offered me to come on the radio. He had a radio broadcast on WPNF. I'd just starting out. Hadn't been preaching but just a few weeks, actually. And he said, I want you to come be on my radio broadcast. I said, okay. So I went that afternoon. It was the first time I'd ever been on the radio. And man, oh man, it was big stuff. And he had some singers there, and they sang live. And he moderated. And it was all good, and I got up and I preached that little message that I had, and they sang about 20 minutes, so all I had was about 8 minutes or so to preach. I got up and preached that little message, and man, I was laying with it, and I was preaching as they played the theme song going off, you know, and man, it was a hit. Boy, it was a hit, and as we started to leave, he said, you know, I'm going to be out of town next week. He said, could you take the broadcast? I said, man, you did an awesome job. He said, man, that was great. You did an awesome job. He said, could you take the broadcast? I said, why, sure, I could take it. What you talking about? Yeah, I'll take it for you. Yeah, be glad to. Yeah, I mean, son, there ain't never been a peacock any prouder than I was. Son, I strutted. Hey, I walked in there about 5'10". I walked out of there about 7'7", okay? I was big time. I was a tippy-toeing on the way out. And I gommed around all week. And I thought, oh, I got this. Well, I got down there to the radio station. And there wasn't a soul there. And I went in. The little old boy, the announcer, he looked at me. And he said, "You ready?" And they played the theme. And here I am in this room by myself. And he looked at me and he said, "You're on." And I started, good afternoon. It's good to be back with you on the radio, da 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 da. And I watched him. He lit a cigarette and turned around in the seat and sat there and put his feet up on the console, sat there and smoked while I was preaching. He had his back to me. Well, I lit in, and I had probably 7 or 8 minutes of content. And I looked at the clock, and it was 2:07. And I was winding up. The problem is he had his feet to the back, and he had turned the knob down where he couldn't hear me. So here we were. So I started backtracking, and like I said, da 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 da, and like I was saying, and I have never spent a longer 30 minutes in my entire life. Talk about laying an egg, honey. This was the size of a dodo bird. I'm telling you, I laid an egg. It was big enough for omelet for everybody. It was the worst. It was so humiliating. I mean, it was so humiliating that the guy that let me wouldn't even thank me for taking his broadcast. It was that bad. And I never been so glad for 2:29 in all of my life. And when it finally come, he turned around, looked at me, and hit the theme, and it took it away from me. And the Lord said, "Proud are you?" In other words, I brought that on myself. I walked out of there first week so proud I looked like a peacock strutting. But honey, the second week, I walked out of there like a little whipped pup with my tail between my legs. Now I want you to know. And I was praying to the Lord. Nobody heard that because it would ruin me for the rest of my ministry. Can I just say it this way? The Lord has a way of making us abased. He has a way, but my friend, you know what caused that? The pride of the first week. I was suddenly the radio evangelist, God's gift to radio. And son, the next week, if it had been a way to rewind it and take it all back, man, I'd have buried it somewhere in a field. It was bad. It wasn't just bad, it was awful. I mean, I sounded worse than an elementary student would have done. It was a terrible situation. And by the way, it did bring about some humiliation. And can I tell you this? From that day to this one, I fear still when I walk in a pulpit, Brother Whittemore. There's never a time when I lay my Bible on this stand that I don't have butterflies in my stomach. Because I know, regardless of how much I study and regardless of what I got prepared, if God don't come on the scene, it is going to be absolutely a mess. And it's going to make 30 minutes seem like 3 hours if God don't show up. God weaned me. And I ain't saying I've not been proud since, but I want to tell you something. That fear of flopping has been on me ever since. And I think everybody's got to have one of those. Everybody needs to fall flat of their face. Every preacher needs to fall flat of his face one good time. And son, you'll turn off gravy train and you'll get off of Facebook and get your face in the book. Amen, right there. Pride's the cousin of arrogancy. Pride's the cause of abasement. Look in Proverbs 13:10. Flip over with me. Proverbs 13:10. The Bible says, "Only by pride cometh contention." Did you know that was in the Bible? Now, if it had said pride cometh by contention, it'd be bad. But the Bible declares only. And when God says it's only, you know what that means? It's only. Only by pride cometh contention. Now, let's take just a moment. If there's contention, somebody's pride is involved. Well, they done me wrong. It ain't my fault. They're the ones that did it. Only by pride cometh contention. I tell you what sparked this message this week. What sparked this thought. That verse is what sparked it. I have had a conflict during this disaster relief time. And it's ongoing. And it's with a particular individual. And I don't know, and I don't know what I did that made him mad. But I made a fella mad. And if he speaks my name, it's derogative. And if anyone speaks my name in his presence, he goes off. And yet I've had to work with him. And it's gotten pretty mean. And, you know, I asked another fellow that's a part of the team that we've been working with. I said, you know, you've kind of been involved. What have I done? I want to know, what did I do to bring this on? And his answer was, only by pride cometh contention, preacher. Only by pride cometh contention. I wasn't even sure where that was. So I had to go look it up. And can I tell you, my pride's been hurt. It really has. Some of the things he said have been pretty mean, pretty hateful. And, we've tried, but I tell you what it did. It hurt my pride. So here's what my thought would be. My thought was, when I got the report, what was just said, big teardown, my thought was, hey, I'll pick up my marbles and go home. I ain't going to play with you no more. That was my thought. And then the Lord reminded me, only by pride cometh contention. So in other words, my pride was hurt. If my pride was hurt. Now, do I think he's got a problem with pride? Apparently. But the thing about it is, my pride was hurt, and it caused me to want to pull back and pull away. Thought about calling him. Thought about pulling the money. Thought about changing gears completely. Thought about a bunch of stuff. Because my pride was hurt. So in other words, there's something going on with his pride that caused the contention, and it triggered my pride, and my pride became contentious back toward him. And the next thing you know, we got us a full-blown thing going on. Ain't that the way it works? Every time. My will, my way, my opinion, I feel like my opinion's more valuable. My opinion has more value than you're giving it. My opinion is based on more research than your opinion. I feel like that my opinion is the best opinion in this matter. That's how it works. Me and my and I, and the Bible says, by pride cometh contention. Think about this with me. The original sin in heaven came because Lucifer was lifted up with pride. And it cost a third of the angels in heaven. The pride. Pride is the core of animosity. The core of animosity. And of course, animosity, we could put the word in parentheses, hostility. When we talk about the word arrogancy, we could put the word haughty beside of it. We talk about the word abasement, we could put the word humiliation beside of it. The word animosity, we could put the word hostility beside of it. Can I say to you that all of the fights, all of the church fights, all of the family fights, all of the fights that go on, it's because of our pride. I don't know who said it, but someone said, you know, there's a lot of talk about being servants. Everybody wants to be a servant. Everybody wants to be a servant. Man, I just want to serve. I just want to be a servant. And they said, you know, that's real good. Everybody's all about being a servant till somebody treats you like one. And when somebody treats you like a servant, all of a sudden it ain't no fun to be a servant no more. Don't they? Is that the truth? When someone takes advantage of you or expects you're going out of your way and they treat like that's their duty and that you ought to do that, that ain't no fun. It's no fun for somebody to treat you like that. I deliberately place myself in a role of subservancy every year. And I have a whole hierarchy of bosses over me. When we do ISC, I have a group of people over me, and I take orders. And I get bossed around here and bossed around there and do this and do that and do the other, and I don't always agree with it. And I'm used to leading. And sometimes it's very difficult to follow, especially when the people telling you what to do don't know what they're talking about. In my humble but highly accurate opinion. Ain't nobody here got any idea what I'm trying to say, do you? I'm just telling you, friends. So the next time we get into it with somebody, just say, well, now, what part of my pride got walked on? Because that's what it was. That's exactly what it was. Your pride got stepped on. And that's where the animosity came from. Your pride got stepped on. That's where the contention came from. That's how it works. Because we feel like that we deserve better or we expect better. Or, you understand what I'm trying to say? Pride is the cousin of arrogancy. It's the cause of abasement. It's the core of animosity. Look with me in Proverbs 16:5. Keep flipping. Proverbs 16 and in verse number 5. The Bible says in Proverbs 16:5, everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. That's strong words. Pride is called an abomination. And the word abomination here and the word pride that we're talking about, the Lord, as a matter of fact, in Romans, talking about in the book of Timothy, that they were high-minded. They were heady, high-minded. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. What's that? What are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about God hates it. You know the things, six things God hates, no, yea, seven? One of them was that proud look. Called it an abomination. Can I tell you? When you start lifting up a man, you're setting him up for a fall because it's an abomination to God. I wonder sometimes if that's why that these young preachers that get so popular so fast end up messing up. I've often wondered if that's what it is. That pride, that abomination before God, and God's not gonna tolerate it. God's gonna put up with it. And of course, here in the mountains, we're proud of this and we're proud of that and we're proud. And again, there is a connotation. But my friend, when we become prideful, whatever it is, God says, if our heart is proud, our proud in the heart, it's an abomination to the Lord. Can you imagine? A potter's wheel and a potter's clay. And the potter is making a vessel and he gets it almost like he wants it and something doesn't go right. And he takes it and suddenly just takes the clay back off and just mars it. And he just starts and just crushes it back down on the wheel. and the clay saying, "Oh, wait a minute. Hold it right there. What are you doing? I was looking good. What are you doing sticking your finger in me? What are you doing wadding me back up like a lump of clay? What are you doing that for?" Can you imagine that the clay rebuking the potter? Don't you know that's exactly how it is when us is just glorified mud pies? I mean, just the dust of the earth. How that when we lift ourselves up, that our opinion and our minds and our this and our that, and when we express that before God, it's like the clay rebuking the potter. Can you imagine that? "God, I don't deserve to be in this sort of situation. God, I don't deserve to be hurting like this. God, I don't deserve to have this situation happen to me." Plead the blood. I'm just using that as an illustration. And while we may not verbalize it, our attitude reflects it. And you know it does. At least mine does. You ever get the pooch mouth with God? Oh, yeah. High-mindedness. When the fact is, what mind we got, God gave us. And then we're going to rebuke him with it? Oh, my goodness. No wonder he calls it an abomination. And so we've seen that pride is the cousin of arrogancy. The Bible says pride and arrogancy in the evil way. We've seen that pride is the cause of abasement. The Bible says when pride cometh, then cometh shame. We've seen that pride is the core of animosity. Only by pride cometh contention, Proverbs 13:10. We've seen that pride is called an abomination in Proverbs 16:5. But I want to close by saying in Proverbs 16:18, pride is the culprit of annihilation. The scripture says, "Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." If you wonder why that whole ministries have collapsed, the Bible says, "Pride goeth before destruction. A haughty spirit before a fall." The Jim Bakers, the Jimmy Swaggarts, and so many more national figures, they couldn't take it. They got lifted up and God destroyed them. God destroyed them. And can I say, a lot of folks, I started something and I've kind of paused on it. But I have created something called the Hall of Shame. And I'm writing down names of men who've messed up in the churches that they wiped out, about wiped out, destroyed. You wouldn't believe how long the list is. People tell me all the time, they keep whispering names to me, and I keep adding them to the list. The Hall of Shame. But in almost every single situation, you know what caused it? You know what? You can see it in almost every one of them. They were exalted and couldn't take it. And as a result, were lifted up with pride and God took them down. Somebody said, "Well, what do you do when God lifts you up?" You be like a mirror. You be like a good, clean mirror. And you deflect that praise. Somebody go to praising you, you deflect it. It's a glad day in your life when you realize that God and others are responsible for any success that you'll ever have. And I've seen it and you have too. I've seen the coach win the big championship, and I've seen the coach say, "We deserve it. I've worked hard. I've done this. I've done that. I've done the other. I've made this team what it is. But the coach didn't throw a single pass. He didn't throw a single block. And in doing that, he leaves the players out, and you watch all the players standing behind him just kind of drop their helmets, kind of drop their heads. It's as if the coach played the game all by himself. But I have seen him. Saw one this past year. He said, first off, I want to give all the praise to my Lord Jesus Christ on national television. I said, wow. He said, and I want to give, and said, I want to tell you that these boys right here have worked very hard to be here. And he said, and my staff couldn't have done it without them. He deflected that praise off him. And you know what it makes you want to do? It makes you want to shake his hand. It makes you want to hug his neck. Because he's up there saying, look, yeah, I'm the national coach. We just won the national championship. But you know what, though? The Lord, number one, and he didn't say God in heaven or the man up above, the big man upstairs. He didn't say that. He said, the Lord Jesus Christ, in plain letters. I want to thank my Lord Jesus Christ. I want to give him the glory for this win. He said, and then I want to thank these guys who have absolutely worked so hard to do this. And then he said this. He looked at the camera and he said, listen to me. If little Clemson can do this, anybody can. He said, this is Clemson. Little Clemson. He said, if we can do it, every team in America watching me right now, it just proves if we can do it, you can do it. And I thought to myself, wow. And it seemed very spontaneous. He didn't have time to write no speech. It was very spontaneous. Now, I ain't getting him to run a revival, okay? I'm not getting him to run a revival. But I will say this. I saw some things that come out of him that's unusual for somebody that wins that big and that's in the spotlight to that degree. I watched very carefully how he received the praise. And you know what? He didn't. He deflected it. It was God and others is the reason he is standing there. And he wanted everybody to know that God and others was the reason he is standing there. I watch people. I'm very interested in how they, what happens when you praise them. The Bible says, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Can I say, pride is the culprit of annihilation. And beside the word annihilation, we could say havoc. I mean, if there's havoc in somebody's life, it's because there's pride in somebody's life. I want to conclude with a verse in the book of Proverbs, chapter 29, verse 33. The Bible says, a man's pride shall bring him low. A man's pride shall bring him low. But honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. Can I tell you that all of us fight every day that pride that's in us because of our fallen nature? It's in us. It's in all of us. It's in our kids. There's no exceptions. Some just hold it in better than the others. But everything we do, if we're always watching what other people are watching and what other people think about us, and I bet they're thinking, wow. When I do this, I bet they're thinking, wow. I wonder what they're thinking about me. I wonder what they're saying about me. I wonder what they're thinking about. It's not thinking less of ourselves. It's thinking of ourselves less. God help us. God help us as we seek to conquer that old man and that spirit of pride that dwells in every single one of us.